From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. A new year means a new Idaho legislative session, where a group of 105 legislators will make decisions that will affect every aspect of life here in the Gem State, from taxes to education to Medicaid, housing, even abortion. Lawmakers are planning bills and laws that will have a direct impact on our daily lives. The session starts Monday, and every year we get an idea of the top priorities in both parties at the annual Idaho Press Club's legislative preview, and that happened this morning. So here with a rundown on what's on the minds of the dominant GOP party, as well as the minority Democrats and the governor, is our political reporter, James Dawson. Jimmy, it's always good to have you on the show.
Hey, Gemma, happy new year.
So, Jimmy, we heard from Governor Brad Little this morning and from lawmakers from both parties, as I mentioned. Let's begin with the governor. What did he talk about?
A lot, but his main focus was clearly promoting Idaho Launch, and this would be the scholarship program for Idaho high school seniors that awards them up to $8,000 to fund, you know, tuition or other program costs for either college or job training for in-demand careers. I mean, we're talking about dedicating half an hour to presenting an update on Idaho Launch that included having Lieutenant Governor Scott Bedke speak, head of the Workforce Development Council. And we also heard from three CUNA high school seniors who are receiving these grants. Other than that, he was asked about several things. Everything from what he might do if the Idaho Commission of Pardons and Parole recommends he commute the sentence of a death row inmate, Thomas Creech, to life in prison, state's new accounting and business management system, LUMA, which has cost the state a whole lot of money in overtime recently. And, you know, we got some answers. He can't really give away too much because the state of the state is on Monday. We'll know more about his priorities then.
So, Jimmy, I want to go back to Idaho Launch for a minute. How is it doing, or can we even tell right now? I mean, given that it's a fairly new program.
Yeah, we're still in very new territory here, and we just haven't seen how these grants are going to be processed by educational institutions, for example. All these little technical things that could be smooth, could have some hiccups there, could have some significant problems. We just don't know yet. But what we do know is that demand is outpacing the amount of money available, according to state officials. So the state received more than 11,000 applications from students by the first deadline, which was last month. So there's about $75 million available to dole out to those students. And Little said he expects every single penny is going to be used. I asked him whether or not he plans on requesting more money for Idaho Launch next week, but didn't get any concrete answers on that, which was to be expected.
And Jimmy, I'm assuming that Idaho Launch works if you are going to be going to an in-state school, or if, I mean, basically staying in the state, you can't necessarily take that money to a program out of the state.
That's correct. Yeah. So one of the hangups that a lot of lawmakers had was, well, some of this, you know, money might go to for-profit job training programs, et cetera, et cetera. But they would all be in Idaho. Yes.
Okay. So, Jimmy, I know, as you mentioned, there was some pushback from some lawmakers who are skeptical about the Idaho Launch program. Is it just that aspect of it that it might go to some for-profit? But I mean, there could be an argument made for that. That, well, but at least we're training people to have careers and staying in Idaho.
Yeah, I mean, there are just so many arguments for and against it. So obviously, that's one of them. Another one would be whether or not the institutions, you know, having seen that kids are getting $8,000, you know, maybe their program, you know, courses and whatever other training opportunities they have. Maybe they cost $4,000 right now, let's say. But with this, are they just going to raise that up to $8,000 to get all the money that they can? Some other concerns are, you know, is this really, instilling a sense of responsibility in the students themselves who are just receiving this? I mean, all you have to do is apply and then meet the qualifications for it. So, you know, is it cheapening their, I guess, stake in the game, right? That's what we heard on the floor from several lawmakers last year. Now, we did hear that, you know, legislative leaders are going to be trying to address some of those concerns this year by tweaking the program. We still don't know exactly what that will look like, but expect that to be a topic of conversation for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so governor's budget, I'm assuming we are going to have to wait on this until his State of the State address on Monday, or did he give any hints at all?
No, not really. I mean, to be fair, yeah, we usually do have to wait for his State of the State address, and then they send out this big, you know, white paper on exactly where the money's going, which is incredibly helpful for us at that point. But yeah, unfortunately, we'll have to wait for Monday for any of those details or big, you know, highlights of his priorities, aside from Idaho launch.
Mm-hmm. If you're just joining us, let me reintroduce our political reporter here at Boise State Public Radio, James Dawson. He's joining us today. We're talking about the Idaho Press Club's 2024 Idaho legislative preview that happened this morning, but also the bigger picture of what could be going on in the legislative session this coming season, which begins officially on Monday with the State of the State address. So with that said, Jimmy, let's talk about the Republican Party. What were some of the priorities on the GOP side that came out this morning?
Oh, man. Well, basically, a lot of the things that we've seen the past year or two. So House Speaker Mike Moyle, for example, said that he wanted to move, forward bills that promote educational savings accounts. These are tools that parents could use to use taxpayer money to pay for private school tuition, for example, or, you know, tutoring, et cetera, et cetera. That passed the Senate last year, didn't really go anywhere in the House. The committee didn't pass that on to the full House, but expect that to come next year. Senator Lori Den Hartog mentioned that she fully expects to see things related to library porn and inappropriate materials that some parents think are within the library, and whether or not, you know, there were several iterations of that bill last year, ranging from librarians getting criminal penalties levied on them if they violated that, to just civil penalties, to, you know, all kinds of things. Some form of that is expected to come back. Speaker Moyle also mentioned that there have been ongoing conversations for months and months about how to deal with the health of a mother who is threatened by her pregnancy, and whether or not that mother could get an abortion in Idaho. Wasn't really much traction on that last year to make health exceptions. Just a reminder that in Idaho, a pregnancy has to threaten the life of a mother to in order for a woman to get an abortion. So expect that and several other hot button issues, I would imagine, property taxes, income taxes, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. So, Jimmy, can we go back to the educational saving account for a minute? Would this be similar then to school vouchers, or is it the same thing? And I ask that question because of just terminology. And I think sometimes it can be really hard if you're, if you're not in it like you are, to kind of understand all of the terminology.
Yeah, and there's a huge debate about that exact terminology. So proponents will say that education savings accounts are much more broad than simply a school voucher, which would, you know, a school voucher, they say, implies that it's just, here's a blank check to your private school from the state, and we're paying for that tuition, and there's not as much oversight as an educational savings account. They say that ESAs, you know, pay for more than just school tuition, which under last year's bill was true. But it's still fundamentally taxpayer money going to pay for private school tuition.
And because, Jimmy, my understanding is, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that we, as you said, we do have educational savings accounts, correct? I mean, there are families that can sign up for this, and they can get it for things like tutoring. If a child needs maybe a computer, so we have that, correct?
We have a form of that in the Empowering Parents Grant Program, okay, which was the bill that came up last year, or one of the bills, was to kind of transform that program into including private school tuition as an acceptable form of something that state money could be paid out through. So yes, we currently do have that program in place, and whether or not it's going to be expanded upon in this legislative session for that purpose, I don't know. There is a press conference tomorrow, Friday, unveiling a plan to have some sort of tax credit potentially go toward paying for private school tuition. Don't have those details obviously yet, but that's also another potential avenue.
So the likelihood is, though, Jimmy, we are going to see something, call it what you want, educational savings accounts, school vouchers, where there is a push so that parents can, if they choose to send their children to private school, can now also basically get it paid for by the government instead of how it's always been. If you want your child to go there, you already have the choice, which is you send them there and you pay for it.
That's correct. And, you know, legislative leaders are making no secret about that. Yeah.
So I want to switch now to the Democratic Party. We know this is the minority party, but a lot of times they have big priorities as well. So what did they talk about this morning, Jimmy?
They talked about, you know, potentially repealing the Idaho's grocery tax. You know, we actually in Idaho spend, we pay taxes on food and other food items. Not every state does. That's been a whole discussion and debate for many, many years. They talked about spending more money on education, including educational facilities. You know, ProPublica and the Idaho Statesman have done a fantastic series on Idaho's crumbling school infrastructure in certain circumstances. Definitely recommend people go check that out. You know, how Idaho Lunch might be further funded. They are seemingly all behind that as well. As well as, you know, making sure that Medicaid and Medicaid expansion specifically stays, you know, sticks around. Idaho voters, I believe it was 2019, approved that by more than 60%. So pretty popular program. However, conservatives are concerned about the growth in that program. We did just see what is anticipated to be a decrease in that spending because of the lifting of the federal pandemic rule, which basically meant that states couldn't kick people off and recheck eligibility during the pandemic. Tens of thousands of people have been kicked off of Idaho Medicaid since then, since that was lifted. So they expect to see some savings there. But, you know, Republicans are certainly wanting to rein in spending on that program.
So, Jimmy, things got a little bit heated, it sounds like, this morning.
Yes.
during this, which I have to say, I shouldn't be surprised, but a little surprising. And at times, there was some tension. I want to play a clip from House Speaker Mike Moyle and House Minority Leader Lauren Nekachea talking about the possibility of more tax cuts this year. Let's take a listen.
The legislature, if you've watched the last several years, we are always trying to provide more tax relief to our citizens. I mean, they're being crushed by this Biden economics crap, inflation's through the roof. So we've got to do something to help them. So you will see tax relief, at least on the House side, and it will include, I believe, two things. I think we'll see us work on the income tax side, and I think you'll see us work on the property tax side by expanding the monies that we provide and make available for facilities on public schools.
What we need to make sure we do is that we are, fiscally responsible as we look at our revenue and invest it in ways that are going to benefit Idahoans long term. So if we just send more revenue out the door in tax cuts that favor, you know, revenue cuts that favor the wealthy and well-connected, again, that's not going to help families who want to send their kids to a great school and know that launch grants will be available for them, or for, you know, Idahoans who rely on Medicaid, whether they're kids, seniors, or people with disabilities. They need to be able to know that those services are going to be adequately funded and that we'll have a strong, reliable Medicaid program. So we have to balance all of these needs and be just wise and judicious.
What better way to help Idaho families than to give them back some of the money that we've taken from them forcibly? Idaho still is on the upper end when it comes to income tax relief, and we know that there's still concerns about property tax relief. I think that we lose the big picture sometimes when we sit in this building and we think it's our money and not their money. I think we need to remember that it's the taxpayers of Idaho's money, and that when we can afford to give back a little bit, we should give back a little bit. But at the same time, we can help them, right? We can continue to help them with their education concerns, with their concerns with Medicaid and health care, with all those issues. But, excuse me, we should give back when we can.
And I would just say, I think it's a bug and not a feature that a CEO pays the same tax rate as a certified nurse assistant helping an Idahoan with disabilities live in their home and getting by on a very low wage.
And we should note that that was edited down a bit for time. So, Jimmy, with that said, is this back and forth representative of how the right and the left are feeling in the legislature as we head into this current session?
I'd say that, I mean, that's just pretty typical everyday sort of back and forth between them. If you listen into, you know, especially the tax and revenue committees here, it's no surprise both House Speaker Moyle and Assistant Minority Leader Necochea are both very, very into taxes. That's something that they've sort of specialized in. But that's pretty typical of what we usually see and what people can expect to see for the next 3 months or so.
So Moyle and Necochea also faced off over Medicaid and the Idaho Launch Program, which Moyle said he is still not sold on. So let's take a listen to this.
But again, not a big fan. Generally when we start these programs, they don't turn out the way we think they will. I'll use Medicaid expansion as an example. It was going to save us millions of dollars. It was going to be the panacea for the state of Idaho. The costs are through the roof, and it's not accomplishing what we thought it would. And that's my concern with Launch. Having said that again, though, I do appreciate that there are some, including the sponsor of the bill, that will do bills this year to try to make it better, to make sure we have those accountabilities in there so that it is a successful program and just not another waste of taxpayer dollars.
Yeah, I want to talk about Medicaid because it would cost the state of Idaho more money to repeal Medicaid expansion than to keep it. That's what the analysis shows. Let's tell the truth to the public.
Yeah, let's tell the truth to the public. When the groups that brought that, including the Democrat Party, brought us Medicaid expansion, they told us it would save us money, that it would only cost $40 million. Well, what, at $130 million now and growing? That it was going to benefit the local taxpayers through property tax relief. None of that ever showed up. If we're going to do these things, we ought to be honest on the front end and say, hey, listen, it's going to cost you way more than we told you it was going to be, and you're not going to get the benefits we told you. But we don't. So if we want to be honest about Medicaid, we can have that discussion later. But it's the same with Launch, right? You've got this new program, and it may or may not be successful. It depends on how the legislature handles it. And hopefully we can make it a better program so it's successful and benefits Idaho. But if it's done wrong, it'll just be a money pit.
Okay, so Jimmy, let's talk about Medicaid. Do we know if there will be bills concerning the program this year? Have you heard anything?
I'm 100% sure that there will be. Whether or not anything gets passed is kind of up in the air, as it usually is, I want to say. There was a whole working group that met for months and months and months over the last year or so, talking about possible solutions to rein in that spending, and they never actually issued any recommendations. They couldn't come up to any sort of consensus on anything. So whether or not that means that there are just going to be half a dozen different ideas introduced over the next few months, could be that. Maybe there will be parties that coalesce around a single or a couple different ideas. I don't know at this point, but there almost certainly will be something, at least one thing that will be introduced.
You know, Jimmy, does this, in your opinion, this back and forth show just how far apart the two parties are? I mean, will they even be able to find any compromise this year, or is it going to kind of be business as usual, right? Where Democrats are basically stuck on the sidelines while the majority Republicans pass their agenda.
I think that's inherent in any sort of legislature like ours, where Republicans control 80% of the seats, right? So they don't necessarily need, unless they're so fractured within themselves, which at times they are, that they need Democratic support on certain issues. But, certainly there are issues, usually around privacy issues that a lot of Democrats and Republicans overlap on. There are certainly some bipartisan bills that get passed every year, you know, certainly doesn't make up the majority of things, but we can't. It's an election year as well. That's another factor to always keep in the back of your head, where things will probably be more fractious and contentious this year. So maybe that results in fewer bipartisan bills getting passed. I don't know.
I want to get back to the election year in just a minute, but I want to talk about something that you mentioned just a moment ago. And that was the fractures within the Republican Party itself. I mean, Jimmy, I think, as you said, anytime there's a majority, right? So it could be Democrats in some states, Republicans in other states, when you hold this supermajority, there are little cracks here and there. It seems, just observing over the last handful of years, though, in our situation here in Idaho, it seems like those cracks are getting deeper and deeper and broader and broader within the GOP party. How then does that potentially play into moving forward into this session?
It's going to be wild, I guess, is a good way to put it. I mean, because we're talking about, much more conservative, sometimes far right, local members of Republican parties or legislative districts who, you know, typically operate in the background, but because of certain rule changes that took place within the state Republican Party over the past couple years, it's made it so these little local boards become potentially much more influential. They've censured, several Republican lawmakers, including ones, there are a couple that I was surprised about because they typically align with those sorts of worldviews of more far rights or far much more conservative lawmakers, right? And even they were censured by their local parties at times for the votes that they took last year. So I certainly see far more rhetorical debate, maybe proxy debating going on the floor, just to sort of stake their claim, stake their position on where they stand, and maybe try to deflate the other side. We've seen that in election years past, and I don't think that that's going to stop anytime soon. And as you mentioned, these cracks have gotten just so much bigger over the past couple years that, it's going to be evident and probably pretty plain and clear for anyone watching.
Let me reintroduce you again, Jimmy. We're talking with our political reporter, James Dawson, talking about Idaho Press Club's 2024 Idaho legislature preview that happened this morning, because the Idaho legislative session begins on Monday. And of course, Jimmy will be covering it for us. So, Jimmy, you mentioned it's an election year, which means that all 105 seats in our legislature will be up for grabs. So how do you think that will impact the topics that lawmakers will address this year? I mean, as you said, maybe we won't see as much bipartisanship, but who knows?
Yeah, you generally see far more contentious and I don't want to say third rail sorts of issue bills, but just very contentious and generally widely debated on already bills. Think about social issues like transgender health care or abortion, things of that nature. Certainly property tax, not just property taxes, but taxes in general will be there. But you're going to see a lot more legislators try to introduce pieces of legislation to appeal to their constituents. Whether or not they actually have any chance of passing is another thing. But they want to make sure to plant their flag in the ground, show where they stand on issues, and try to separate themselves from their political opponents as well. Whether that be in the rematches that we're going to see, particularly, thinking about Senate District 1 up in the Idaho Panhandle with Senator Scott Herndon and former Senator Jim Woodward. You've got a few of those in the Treasure Valley as well, rematches from a couple years ago. And I certainly see a lot of noise being made both on the debate floor and out on the campaign trail.
Well, in some ways, Jimmy, I mean, it can be argued that this, when we have a session during an election year and all seats are up for grabs, I mean, it's kind of like a stage, right, to campaign for your reelection.
Yeah, politicians will certainly push back on that and say that they were going to do it anyway. So you just kind of have to, I guess, take that for what you will and either trust them at their word or don't. But you certainly see, like I said, a lot more noise during election years, especially because the filing window to actually, you know, file the paperwork to announce that you're going to be a candidate, that doesn't even open up until March or late February. I don't have the exact date off the top of my head, but, you know, it's toward the end of session when tempers are already flaring over certain issues and a lot more contentious and longer debates usually happen toward the end of session anyway. So that both can ignite those debates and also make it so lawmakers are much more eagerly wanting to wrap up the session and get back out on the campaign trail so that they can start fundraising and campaigning for the May primary.
So, Jimmy, what about an issue like abortion? And as you mentioned in the earlier segment, you know, there was some talk last year about a mother's life being in danger. Do we need to make, you know, what do we need to make any clarifications to the law here in Idaho as it stands? With that said, when we're in an election year and things are contentious, and you know, there's going to be that, you know, back and forth. And things are going to be more explosive than they even normally are. How then does an issue like this, which is already so contentious, and we've also seen across the nation, even in red states, where there have been, where certain abortion rights have been put back in place in these red states, not all, but a handful. I'm just curious as to how something like that even will get anywhere. There might be a lot of chatter, but will anything even potentially happen?
It's far harder. And lawmakers themselves admit it. You hear it occasionally on, you know, the House and Senate floors where they will appeal to their colleagues by saying, you know, if we don't pass whatever issue it happens to be, but certainly abortion is one of them, you know, if we don't pass it this year, next year's an election year, and we all know it's not going to happen. You know, whether or not there is a sizable enough push to actually make any sorts of amendments to the you know, life or health of the mother's exceptions or other exceptions that Idaho law currently has for its abortion ban, I don't know. It's certainly going to be a whole lot more challenging than it would be in an off election year, especially because Idaho is such a conservative state, especially when it comes to abortion. So feelings are very well staked out. A lot of people in the legislature want no exceptions. You're going to see legislation to, you know, potentially even lift the ones that we do have at this at this point in time. Some want to criminalize it, though that's a very, you know, vocal minority there. But yeah, it's just going to be an incredible challenge, which is why we've seen, according to Speaker Moyle, these conversations ongoing over the past couple years to try to make some headway to do something with it.
And since it is an election year, Jimmy, it's notoriously then a shorter session as well.
Yes, exactly. And we also heard from the Joint Finance and Appropriations Committee co-chairs this morning after legislative leaders and the governor talking about a new budget process that they think will help simplify everything and potentially make it so we don't have as many or any sort of last minute standoffs with budget bills as we've seen in the past several years, where, you know, something will get voted down on the House or Senate floor and then it has to be reworked, and that can take days or weeks to do things and just really drag things on. So they're hoping to make it so these budgets are passed earlier, they're you know, finalized within the committee earlier, and they, like I said, hope that that will actually have downstream effects to really help the rest of the legislative session move along at a quicker pace, so people aren't so flustered or frustrated toward the end of the year about budgets or anything else.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Jimmy, crack open your crystal ball, but I won't hold you to this.
Oh,
what
no.
do you what do you think will be the top issues this year in this legislative session?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've talked about them. Idaho Launch, whether or not that gets more funding, gets any funding at all, is going to be something that will be highly debated. Educational savings accounts or vouchers for private school tuition, that's a big one. You know, the quote unquote library porn issue has not gone away. That's been something for the past 3 years. And I don't see that, you know, dying down anytime soon. And Medicaid, whether it's Medicaid spending or just how we administer the program, which certainly reflects on how much we pay for it, but also who gets covered and what procedures get covered, all kinds of things like that. Maybe even, I don't know, I'm just throwing this out there, but different waivers that the state could apply for to tailor its program how it wants. You know, we've seen that over the past couple of years as well. So those are the type of things that I'm taking a look at for sure.
Okay, so Jimmy, I want to give you a chance to plug some great work that you do during the session. I mean, not only are you there every single day covering it for Boise State Public Radio News, but then you also have a newsletter on top of that. So tell us a little bit about this newsletter for folks that might not be familiar.
Yeah, this is the third year of Legislative Update, Legislative Roundup. It's basically, if you don't have the time to dedicate toward following the issues, which I don't blame anyone if they don't have that time, because it's a lot of time. But it's a digestible sort of roundup of all of the previous week's top stories, top issues that I or, you know, the rest of the Boise State newsroom team covers over the week, as well as linking to the great work of other Idaho journalists around, since, I mean, there's just so much to cover that we all can't do the same things. So they are wonderful and help fill in the gaps there to bring more broad coverage to everyone in the state. And then, you know, I sometimes will interview certain folks to get their perspective on whatever issue is happening at the legislature that's included in that newsletter, as well as I also do a song of the week that sort of encapsulates what went down during that week and try to bring some levity there.
Okay, I love the song of the week. So do you but you don't pick this out then until like what? As the week goes on, I would assume.
Yeah, it's usually a pushing deadline decision. But I try to keep a running list in my head. Kevin Richard, our friend at Idaho Ed News, told me just at, you know, as we were in between panels this morning, that I should have American Idiot from Green Day be my song of the week, but I haven't chosen yet. So we'll find out.
Okay, and how can folks sign up for the newsletter, Jimmy?
You can go to boisestatepublicradio.org, and there will be a link there. So you can just insert your email address and sign up. And again, it's once a week, so we're not blitzing you every single day, because I don't think many people want that, and B, it can be overwhelming. So a nice weekly roundup for you to digest.
Okay, and are you like, you know, stretched? You're ready? You've taken your vitamins? I mean, you're in good fighting form, because Jimmy, this starts Monday and it's literally, it's a race, but it's like a marathon with you doing this.
Let's hope so. I'm going to hibernate over the weekend and we'll see how things shake out on Monday, I guess.
All right. Well, as always, we certainly appreciate you coming on the show and all of the work that you do for the legislative session. We've been talking with our very own political reporter, James Dawson, about the Idaho Press Club's 2024 Idaho legislative preview, which happened this morning. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This new year, LifeKit wants to help you succeed, because everyone needs a little help being human.
It can seem so overwhelming. You're not alone.
Who can I commit to being?
If you want to do something, then just do it. Just take that first step.
Great advice every week. Listen to Life Kit from NPR.